Hello once again, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master, a program that is heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, and I am your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week in a different course of study. Now, in our Thursday program, at this time, we are studying the book of John. And we are right in the middle of our study, and we are in chapter 10. And in fact, we're going to be looking at the middle part of chapter 10 today, here in just a moment. We're going to be looking at chapter 10, verses 11 through 20, as we consider the Good Shepherd. Now, I would remind you that this program and each Mornings for the Master program is replayed in the evenings at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it is posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website within a day or so. So I hope you're availing yourselves to one of the avenues for which you can hear these programs and other programs heard on the Gospel Radio Network. As we noted, we're going to be in John chapter 10 and verses 11 through 20. So let's go there now as we examine our text for today. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep, and scatters them. The hireling flees, because he is a hireling, and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews, because of these sayings. And many of them said, He has a demon, and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Now, as we go further into chapter 10 today, we find that Jesus is giving explanation to us of who he is and exactly what he is doing. Jesus said that he is gathering his sheep, and he is gathering his sheep so that they would have abundant life. Now Jesus makes clear who he is, and it is a powerful declaration. He said, I am the good shepherd. One might read a statement like this and probably might not make too big of a deal of it. But when Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, he is truly explaining who he is. And so in our text today, we want to look further at who Jesus is, and how he is gathering his sheep, because this is where he is going in our text today concerning the Good Shepherd. So first we see that Jesus made the statement, "I am the Good Shepherd." Verse 11, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives life for the sheep." Now, consider the most obvious implication of this statement by Jesus, that he is the Good Shepherd. Who is the shepherd in the Scriptures? Consider one of the most favorite and well-known of the Psalms. Psalm 23 begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Scripture, on numerous occasions, describes the Lord to be the shepherd. Consider with me the 80th Psalm and verse 1. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth." God is the shepherd of Israel. God is the great shepherd, ruler, and king. Jesus takes deity upon himself when he calls himself the shepherd. Now let's consider the prophecy of Isaiah and what was going to happen to comfort the people. Notice Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young." God is going to come with strength and might and a reward. He is going to tend his flock and gather his sheep. Jesus is deity. He is God. But there is more to this picture. Now let's notice that Jesus is not simply the shepherd, but he is the Good Shepherd. He is not going to be like the past shepherds. The shepherds of Israel previously were robbers and thieves. They scattered and harmed the sheep. Now, I think it would do us well to consider the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. A lengthy reading, but well worth our time. Ezekiel chapter 34. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock become a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold, and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost, and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters, that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet. And they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and cause wild beasts to cease from the land. And they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the fruit shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. And they shall no longer be a prey for the nations, nor shall beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. Now I would also like for us to consider Isaiah the prophet in chapter 56, verses 9 through 12. All you beasts of the field, come to devour. All you beasts in the forest, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds, who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain. From his own territory, come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant. Also now, let's consider Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Now, let's consider Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 32 through 38. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. And that day the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse of the ground. Wail, shepherds, and cry. Roll about in the ashes, you leaders of the flock. For the days of your slaughter and your dispersions are fulfilled. You shall fall like a precious vessel, and the shepherds will have no way to flee, nor the leaders of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and a wailing of the leaders to the flock will be heard. For the Lord has plundered their pasture, and the peaceful dwellings are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He has left his lair like the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. Listen to what the good shepherd would do. Notice what makes him the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Friends, shepherds did not do this. Shepherds lead and protect the sheep, but there is no shepherd that died for one sheep. This is out of the ordinary. It is not customary. But the good shepherd will do what no other shepherd will do. He will lay down his life for the sheep. Now notice also that Jesus does not say that the shepherd would be killed. Jesus will lay down his life. What makes Jesus the good shepherd is that he sacrifices himself. He gives his life. In essence, he volunteered his life for the sheep. Now, something we can see that's quite obvious here. We are the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. Who is in charge? Obviously, you and I are not in charge. Only Jesus is in charge, having all authority. We are to follow him. We don't have the right to get to listen to ourselves. His sheep listen to his voice, and they follow him. Go back to verses 3 and 4 in this chapter. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, Jesus is the good shepherd simply because no one else qualifies for that title. Everyone else simply falls short. Now back to our text. Let's go back to verse 12. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now verses 12 and 13 point out to us that everyone besides Jesus is not up to the task. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the only one who can do what needs to be done for his sheep. The hired hand does not care for the sheep like the shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd, and he is different. Jesus has come to deal with the wolves, and Jesus will not run away when the wolves come against us. Jesus has not, does not, and never will run from our problems. Jesus cares for his sheep. He cares more than anyone else about the sheep. Notice that is pointed out to us in verse 13. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Others care nothing for the sheep. Jesus cares for the sheep. Jesus cares for you more than any person you know. He is committed to you more than any other person you know. So Jesus then makes the point that he was making with his first illustration in the first 10 verses of the chapter. He said, I know my own, and my own know me. Jesus knows who are his. His sheep know his voice. Listen to his voice and follow his leading. Jesus knows who belongs to him. Notice how well Jesus knows this relationship with us. Just as the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father, so Jesus knows us, and we know him. What an incredible declaration. There is a picture of a depth of knowledge and intimacy in the relationship of the Father and the Son. Being his sheep is much more than just knowing a bunch of facts about Jesus. We are supposed to have a relationship with Jesus like our Father God has with the Son of God. Does this sound like something we offer for a few minutes or a few hours? Does this sound like going to church? Does this sound like Sunday morning only? Jesus is laying his life down for the sheep. But are we one of the sheep? Or are we just claiming to be a sheep, but have not devoted our love to Jesus to show that we are truly his sheep, to have that special relationship? There is to be an intensity to the relation between the Christian and Christ. It is not a hobby or some casual acquaintance. So how is the Good Shepherd, Jesus, gathering his sheep? Let's pick up again in verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Jesus continues that there are other sheep that he must bring in. There are more sheep to call. Even right now, Jesus is calling his sheep from Israel. But the calling of the sheep must also go out to the Gentiles. These are going to be sheep that are outside of the Jews that belong to him also. Jesus must call them as well, for they will listen to his voice. Isaiah prophesied that this would be the case in chapter 56 in verse 8, saying, "The Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel, says, Yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him." There is a glorious result that will occur from what Jesus is doing. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus shepherds beyond the limits of physical Israel. This audience, the Jewish religious leaders, are not his sheep because they do not listen to his voice. They have shown that they do not belong to him. Jesus is calling his sheep so that they will no longer be scattered, causing one flock with one shepherd. This comes from a beautiful prophecy given to us by Ezekiel. Notice Ezekiel 37, verses 21 through 26. Ezekiel, again, Ezekiel 37, beginning in verse 21. "Then say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. For they shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwell. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever." More. The new David was going to come. This is a messianic reference to the Christ. The Christ, the Savior, would come and rule over them as their shepherd and save them from their sins. Jesus has come to create one flock, which consists of sheep from all over the world, one that does not regard race or culture or gender or background. Jesus has come to fulfill the task that the Father has given him. The Son enjoys the approval of the Father because of his complete obedience to the will of the Father. Verse 17 said, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Now listen to what Jesus says, because it's literally the most amazing and shocking statement yet in his discussion of the Good Shepherd. This is the third time that Jesus says that he is laying down his life. Verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And now verse 17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. But that is not the shocking part. The shocking part is how he ends the statement. He is laying down his life so that he can take it up again. You see, you can lay down your life. You can sacrifice yourself for another person. You can give your life to protect your family. But you cannot take it back up again. No one can take their life back again after giving it over to death. Jesus' death always has the resurrection in view. Now consider the rest of what he has to say in verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus said, no one can take my life from me. Is that true for you? Of course not. No one could harm Jesus unless he allowed it to happen. For a moment, take your mind back to the cross. No one could put their hands on him to arrest him unless he allowed it to happen. No one could take the scourging and the brutal whipping unless he allowed it to happen. No one could put nails through his hands and feet unless he allowed it. No one could kill him on the cross unless he allowed it. Jesus said, no one takes it from me. This is what makes Jesus the Good Shepherd. He had the authority to lay his life down and the authority to take his life up. Jesus carried his authority throughout everything that happened at the end of his life. Jesus was not a helpless victim of his enemies' hatred and violence. This is not an accident. The memorial of the Lord's Supper is not a memorial like an accident happened and a tragedy took place. This was the plan of God. Jesus gave his life. He laid it down for the sheep. No one took his life from him. Jesus is in complete control. And Jesus has full authority for every moment that happens in his betrayal, his arrest, his beating, and his death. Why did Jesus do this? This was the only way to gather the lost sheep. This is the only way for forgiveness of sins to come to the sheep. Jesus has come to call and gather his sheep. The means of gathering them into one flock with the one good shepherd to lead them was to give them life, his life, With his great authority, Jesus would not only lay down his life, but he would also take his life back up for his sheep. Jesus cares so much for his sheep that he dies for his sheep. But understand, no one took his life. Jesus gave his life for you and for me. Consider 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Have you returned to your shepherd? We are all strayed like sheep, but Jesus died to gather you to him, to save you from eternal hell, to forgive you of your sins, and to gather you into his fold. Jesus knows his own, and his own know him. Have you learned his voice, and do you obey his leading? Lessons for us from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 20. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope our time together has been edifying to you. I've been encouraged by your presence, and I look forward to being with you again next week at this same time. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Network Radio Network website in a day or so. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for another edition of Mornings for the Master with Preston McElyea as your host. And stay tuned today for all of the programs here on the Gospel Radio Network. And so until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless.